We're in Isaiah, chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, turn with me there to Isaiah chapter 8. We're going to start with the 11th verse, and we're going to read through the remainder of chapter 8. Again, I encourage you to bring your Bibles. This way you can mark it. You can check out points and say, hey, Pastor, what about this? You didn't cover this last week. Sometimes they don't cover stuff just because of time, believe it or not. But I still try to take it in big enough chunks here so that we're taking things in context. And we're going with the flow of where things are going here. So as we read, please remember to be reading this for yourself too. Okay. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 11. It says, "The Lord spoke to me with a strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. He said, do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy." Time out a second. Not that anybody calls anything conspiracy today. We know how the Bible was written thousands of years ago, and you know this can't possibly be current with what's going on. We don't have conspiracy theories around here anymore, right? Okay. Back to our text. "Do not fear what they fear. Do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread, and He will be a sanctuary. But for both houses of Israel, He will be a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, He will be a trap and a snare. Many of them will stumble and will fall and be broken. They will be snared and captured. Bind up the testimony and seal up the law among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. I will put my trust in him. Here am I and the children the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel from the Lord Almighty who dwells on Mount Zion. When men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not the people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged and look upward, will curse their king and their God. Then they will look towards the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement that is there. We thank you for the cautions that are there. We thank you, Lord, that your will is laid out for us. We don't have to guess what it is. You've revealed it. Now, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would give us understanding of it. Lord, that as I preach this morning, your Holy Spirit would speak through me and touch the hearts and minds of each person here, that they would hear your truth. And Lord, might any inaccuracies or errors that I have not come through, but instead might only your truth come forward. Lord, we pray that your people would be encouraged and blessed, that your name would be the one lifted up and glorified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah the prophet is being spoken to. The Lord spoke to me with his strong hand upon me. This is telling him that he knew God was talking to him and that God was speaking to him in power. This wasn't one, well, I'm not sure if God was talking to me or not type moment. We've all had those, you know. Well, do you think God's talking to me in this? Do you think? Isaiah had no question. God was talking to him in power. And what was the message that he gave him? He said, don't be like these people. Warning, strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. And who is this people? God's chosen people of Israel. It's the people living in Jerusalem and Judah. the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph. I thought these were supposed to be the ones that are the blessing. These are the people that are supposed to be God's people. But God is telling Isaiah, don't do what they do. Don't follow them. Don't be like these people. Like this people. Now when Israel was sent into the promised land, you know what the injunction was to the people of Israel? Don't be like those people that are there. I'm catching a theme here, aren't you? God says, don't be like those people. Who are those people? Doesn't matter whether we're talking about people who are named and identify themselves as against the God of Israel, or those who are of proper ancestry and lineage and can say, well, I'm of the family. Don't follow the people. You know why? Because they're getting tripped up. And he will be a sanctuary, but for both houses of Israel, he will be a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. God himself, Jesus, causes the people to stumble and fall. Why? Why is this? Because they're not looking to him. They're not following him. They're not fearing him. It says the Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. Instead, they're getting all concerned about everybody else. What does everybody else think? What's everybody else doing? Who are these people that are coming against me? Remember, King Ahaz is dealing with, he's got the Samaritans, and he's got the people from Syria, and he's got the part of the family that split off, Israel. Remember, Ahaz is over Judah and Jerusalem. The kingdom's in two pieces this time. Go back and read Chronicles and Kings to make sure, so you understand who's who and where's where then. But what we're looking at here is he's afraid of all these people. He's concerned about them when what he should be worrying about is God. Well, that's so different than what people do today, is it not? We all do that same thing. Don't get caught up in conspiracies. Don't be worried about this and that and the other thing. Oh, do people love to weave a conspiracy theory? Get people chasing this and that. Anything but God. And God has fought this tendency of man through telling us to follow him and to follow his word. He's given signs and examples. He said, do this. Look to my word. Follow me. Do this sacrifice. Eat this dinner. Have this meal. Why? To remember. To remind yourself. To bring you back to my word. They're a stumbling stone. God and his word is a stumbling stone. What does that mean? That means because everybody's so focused on everything else, they're not looking on the ground before them. And they stumble. You ever trip on something? Yeah, Peggy's over here going, oh yeah. Yeah, I trip all the time. Why? Because I'm not looking where I'm going. Yesterday I walked right on Donna's foot. Why? I wasn't looking where I was going. She said, you broke my toe. I said, no, I didn't. It was, however, sore. because I'm not late. And I had shoes on, and she's wearing just little thong-type sandals. And I was walking with intent, too. You know, but that, you know, I wasn't just walking. I was doing one of those things right on her toe. Now, if I'm walking like that, and instead of stepping on her toe, I hit a rock, an obstruction of some sort. You know what happens? Boom. Down I go. Now, one of the biblical early forms of burglar alarms was a rock. You see, you lived in a house which didn't have a lot of windows. Why didn't they have a lot of windows? Because they didn't have glass. And if you put a window in there, you know what happens? All the bugs, all the cold air, all the world comes in. But you don't want that stuff in because, you know, you want the house to be warm because it gets cold outside. And you want the bugs and the wild critters to stay outside. So they don't have much in the way of windows. So at night, when all the lights are off, because all they had for lights were things that burned, an oil wick, a candle, something along those lines, fire in the stove. When all that's out, you know what you can see inside? Nothing. It was dark. So the family would place a rock somewhere towards the door area. So if somebody snuck in the middle of the night, they would stub their toe. Because remember, people are walking around wearing sandals in this day. And if you stubbed your toe, what do? Out! You cry out because it hurts. You fall down. You get caught in the snare. Somebody, oh, they hear. Everybody who lives there knows that you're there and they can capture you. And this is what's being talked about is they stumble, they're snared, they're caught, they're captured. You fall down, they're broken. Anybody ever fall down, break anything? Oh, yeah. You fall down on a stone. Not only did I trip on a stone, but now I fell on one. I get hurt. I get injured. Why are people hurt and injured on God's Word? Because they're not looking at it. They're not following it. They're ignoring it. They're looking at the rest of the world. This is what Isaiah's telling to the people of Jerusalem. And he's telling to us. This rock that makes them fall, they will be snared and captured. So he says, to prevent this, bind up the testimony and seal up the law among my disciples. Mike, if you could put up my little slideshow. I've got just a couple slides to show you one of the ways in which they would bind up the testimony. Orthodox Jews use what's called the phylactery, which is a little box. It's got a leather strap on it. Next one. And inside the box, it opens up, and there'll be a piece of scripture. It's not big enough to put the whole Word of God in. They didn't have little thumb drives, little memory chips they could stick into something that small. We could do that now. I can put the whole Word of God on, you know, how many people here have a phone with the Bible on it? You know, I got a little thumb drive in my pocket. I can have the whole Word of God right in that thing. I can plug it into any computer and there it is. Well, what they did is they took a verse or two, a few verses, they would write it down and roll it up, fold it up, stick it inside the box, seal it, and then bind this box themselves. Next slide. They would wear it in two different places. One on the forehead, and the second one on the arm. You see how these straps, how they're wrapped around the arm and around the hand? You kind of see the box up here in the forearm area. And it says, bind up the testimony. This is what they did. To bind up the testimony. to remind them about God's word. Okay, Mike, that's enough. This is what they did, to remind themselves about God's word. Now, we have a blessing that the people of that day didn't have. You see, in order to have the full word of God, you had to have all these scrolls. It took up a whole lot of space. It's very cumbersome. I mean, very expensive. I've got the word of God right here. How many people have the word of God with them here today? If you don't have a Bible that you own yourself, let me know. I will give you one before you leave today. Seriously. The word of God is readily available for us today. We are blessed. But how many people have a Bible and then leave that Bible, sit somewhere, so that when you, by the time you, next time you pick it up, you know, or maybe you had to scrape it off because there's so much. Or maybe you can't even find the thing because it's buried. Pile of other stuff on top of it. You know. We have the Word of God. We're to bind it to ourselves. How can we bind it to ourselves other than just wrapping it and putting it in a little box and wrapping it? The purpose of that is to remind. It's a symbolism. Yes. And it looks kind of silly from our point of view. But they would do this as they would go to prayer to remind them of the Word of God, to keep them focused on it, that the Word of God is where they're supposed to be looking for their answers. Isaiah himself and his children were given to the people of Jerusalem and to us today as signs and symbols of God and His will. Here am I and the children the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel from the Lord Almighty, who dwells on Mount Zion. I'm not making this up. This is what Isaiah is saying. This is what God is saying through Isaiah. Remember, what does Isaiah's name mean? It says, Yahweh is salvation, or God is salvation. How about his two kids that we know about so far in this book? Well, the first one that we've heard about is Shir Jashub. I know I'm butchering the pronunciation, so ignore that. But that means a remnant shall return. And his other son? Shilo Hashbaz. Quick to the plunder. So his children, yeah, he's saying God is salvation. His children are saying there will be a remnant and there is going to be, and you will be plundered. Why? Because they're not following God. Now, do you want to be part of the plundered, or do you want to be part of the remnant? Comes the question. Plundered. What happens to somebody who's plundered? Well, let's see. Oh, yeah, they're shaven. They get a big hook put in their nose or their face, and or a noose around their neck and drug around as a slave. No, thank you. I don't want to be somebody's property. I don't want to be mistreated. I don't want to be have my whole body shaved with some not very sharp bronze instrument. No, thank you. This is what happened to those who were plundered. They became part of the prize for defeating Israel. They themselves became slaves, property. But the promise is that there will be a remnant. And the promise is also said that God is salvation. So we know where our hope lies. Our hope lies in God. But the problem is, people tell us to consult mediums and spiritists. And we listen. That's what was going on in Jerusalem. And they're trying to figure out, well, what's going to happen? When is this When's the army coming? When are they going to come and plunder us? When is the battle going to be? Are we going to win? Are we going to lose? What do I have to do to win? You know, again, instead of going to God, they say, well, who can I find? Where's my shortcut? Everybody wants a shortcut. Nobody wants to do it the hard way. Everybody wants to find the quick, easy way. It may be simple, it may be easy to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, but it's not easy to follow Him. It's not simple. It's very difficult. And we do get tripped up and fall. But usually that's because instead of following God, we start trying to consult others, find other ways. Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and the testimony. To the law and the testimony. To the law and the testimony. We call it the Bible. The book of the law and the testimony. What is the law? That's the first five books of the Old Testament. The testimony? That's the prophets. What others have written. What do we have? That's what the Bible is. Old and New Testament. It is the law and the testimony. In its completeness. It's where we should be looking for our solutions. Not looking to the world. Because if we do, what we're going to find is we're going to get mad at God. Because we're going to say, we're going to expect that we should get things our way. Instead of following God's direction and God's will, we're trying to do things our way. That's when people get frustrated. And they get angry. And you know what's going to happen when they get frustrated and angry? They're going to look up and they're going to curse God. That's not a good thing. Job was told by his wife, curse God and die already. Because he was going through a miserable time. Things were tough. Things were hard for Job. Job said, I will not curse my God. So how do we take ourselves to God? To the law and to the testimony. That's what it tells us. It gives us the answer. To the law and to the testimony. Bind ourselves to it. How do we bind ourselves to it today? Take your Bible, take it with you wherever you go, read this thing. Put it on your phone. Put, if you want to get a little phylactery and tie it on your forehead, I'm okay with that. If it's going to help you, some people just take and put little Bible verses on their mirror. Put them in various places where they can find God's Word and be encouraged there. They make sure they set aside time to spend in God's Word. You know what? You're not going to know God's Word if you don't spend time in God's Word. You won't. How do I know what God's will is? It's all right here. Read it. It will tell you. It may not say, take a left turn 300 feet ahead like your GPS might. But if you go 300 feet ahead and you see, to the left I see people who are hurting and in need of help. To the right I see a house of ill repute. Where should I go? What does the scripture say? It says I should help those in need. I'll take that turn. We have a couple choices here. We can choose to listen to the wisdom of the world, which is consult spiritist mediums, consult the wisdom of man, follow others' like us who are literally going to hell in a handbasket. Or to the law and to the testimony. Go to the law and to the testimony and say, God, what would you have of me? Reveal yourself to me. If we go to the law and to the testimony, then we will know God's will. We will not wonder about what it is. And we will be part of that remnant. Because not all do enter into God's blessing. But only those who submit themselves to His will and His way. As He explains it to us in His Word. So let's do that today. Let's seek after God through His Word instead of seeking to follow these other people. You're not going to find God's will and word by trying to follow the people around you, the world around. You're going to find God's will in His Word. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You that You've given us Your revelation of Your Word. You have told us that You indeed are salvation. You have told us that there will indeed be judgment, that people will be plundered. You have told us also that there will be a remnant. Father, it's up to us to determine which camp we will be in. But You've told us how to do that. We can either follow the wisdom of the world and seek to be like those around us, or we can to the law and to the testimony. Lord, help us to make the right choice. May we each one seek to bind ourselves to You and Your Word. Might we indeed take ourselves to the law and to the testimony, to find Your truth, and to live according to its precepts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.